This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Later this hour, we're going to get an update on the George Barley Water Prize, administered by the Everglades Foundation. Teams from around the world are working to find cost-effective ways to remove phosphorus from natural water bodies. After months of testing in Toronto, the next phase of the prize is heading for a lake north of Orlando. And then we'll listen to a conversation with Dr. Ted Thornhill that was recorded last week. As you're hearing this, Dr. Thornhill just wrapped up the presentation of his findings at Howard University at a panel this morning regarding race and admissions policies at colleges and institutions of higher education. But first, while Tropical Storm Gordon thankfully only brought a few days of heavy rain to Southwest Florida, scientists say that its path up the coast and its persistent offshore winds might actually diminish the intensity of the ongoing red tide bloom that's been killing marine life and causing respiratory irritation for almost a year now. While the data is still coming in, we're checking in with Dr. Rick Bartleson. He's a research scientist with the Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation. He's been testing water samples collected near Sanibel. Dr. Bartleson, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Well, thanks, Julie.
And as always, we invite you to join our conversation. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Dr. Bartleson, you've been testing water samples today. What are you seeing in terms of red tide intensity?
Well, the numbers are much lower today than they have been in the end of last week. Say Saturday and Sunday, they were still pretty high, but the numbers have been going down inside the bay and out on the Gulf side from near shore samples.
So you're looking at near shore samples, and you'd say that there's a drop from a week or so ago. Would you say it's a significant enough drop, or how would it compare to maybe like 3 months ago?
Well, yes. So about 2 months ago, we started seeing cells per liter along the beaches and pretty consistently had over a million, maybe 10 million or more. And we also were seeing that much along the causeway and samples from a mile out from shore. So yeah, these samples from yesterday and today were much lower than we have been seeing for the last 2 months. For example, at the beach last week, we had over 10 million cells per liter, and today and yesterday we've had under 1 million cells per liter. And along the causeway, we were having also 10 million cells per liter consistently, and the samples there have been less than 1 million cells per liter.
Dr. Bartleson, I want to talk about the arc of attention that's been paid to red tide. We had a lot of attention paid to it a few weeks ago when a lot of dead marine life was washing up. Did the red tide ever go away, or did it run out of marine life to wash up on shore?
Yeah, we haven't been seeing much in the way of marine life for a while around Sanibel. Also offshore, we have a pretty large dead zone where everything on the bottom was killed from lack of oxygen, if not from the toxins of the red tide. But we have 3 meters of water offshore of Sanibel that had no oxygen in it. So, and that was up to 5 miles offshore that we looked. So there wasn't a lot left to kill when the fish stopped washing up.
Oh, so it wasn't because the red tide was going away. It was because there wasn't anything left to wash up.
Right. We were still having 10 million cells per liter or higher, like I said, at the end of last week around Sanibel. So the concentrations were still high enough to kill fish, but there weren't as many fish around to kill.
Wow. So when we're seeing things, I mean, this is just, you know, one sample or a few samples from right after this tropical storm. Does this feel promising to you? Can that tropical storm have helped the problem long term?
Yeah, well, for one thing, pushing the surface water offshore would be a good thing because that's where a lot of the Karenia cells were concentrated. It also would have caused upwelling of the bottom water, which is anoxic, and that'll help the bottom recover if the oxygen level is improved enough in the lower layer. So right, there are fewer cells around to make more Karenia, so that's one good thing. We do still have a lot of stratification caused by the Coosatchee flow. And so the stratification helps ensure that we have hypoxia or anoxia in the lower layer off the coast, and that's bad because it adds nutrients from decomposing benthos to the red tide growth.
So while we have a little bit of good news in that some of the red tide may have been, you know, blown out or dissipated at least and sent off further away from where it gets concentrated and continues to reproduce itself, the other issue that we're facing is the outflows from the Caloosahatchee, as you mentioned, and with a large rain event, that makes eyes turn towards something like Lake Okeechobee water releases. Are you concerned about the, I guess, the negative side of a tropical storm blowing through?
Right. So the extra freshwater flow is bad because that kills animals that are adapted to salt water. The extra nutrients are not needed, especially this time, because they help fuel algal blooms. And right. So the extra freshwater flow also causes stratification, which we don't need since we're seeing anoxia in the lower layer offshore. So that is concerning that we still need to do something about the high release rates from Lake Okeechobee after storms, and we need to put water into wetlands again.
So I'm wondering, do you plan to do any testing offshore for Carinina brevis?
Yes, we do. We have some volunteers, and we're planning to go out this week. So yes, we will be doing some sampling.
So if all the red tide did get blown off, which it didn't all, obviously, you said you're still at a million parts,
but
if it did dissipate, how long is it going to take for the water to get back to normal? I guess that's kind of a, you know, magic eight ball kind of question.
Yeah, it wouldn't be right away because, yeah, we are still seeing red tide. When the numbers of Carinia get knocked down, that gives a chance for other phytoplankton to start taking over. So that at least puts a light at the end in the tunnel. But we're not out of the dark yet.
We're not out of the dark. I mean, it's been knocked down. There is other phytoplankton that now has a bit of a fighting chance because the Carinina brevis has been knocked down just enough, I guess,
yeah,
what you're
right.
saying. But I guess I'm looking for an answer that may not be there, but is it going to get better?
Yeah, I'm sure. There's all the blooms eventually end. This has been one of the worst ones we've seen, but there's always something that will help it end, and this storm may have been one of the things that will help.
Yeah. If you're just joining the show today, I'm talking to Rick Bartleson. He's a research scientist with the Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation. He's been testing water samples from Lee County waters near Sanibel Island for Carinia brevis. That's the organism that causes red tide. And there's hope that Tropical Storm Gordon may have diminished the intensity of this red tide bloom that has been impacting coastal waters from Naples to Tampa. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, give us a call now. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So when we're saying, Dr. Bartleson, that the red tide has dissipated somewhat, did it go somewhere else or did it go away? I mean, is it washed out offshore and can it come back?
Well, right. The cells that washed out offshore would be dispersed and so that they wouldn't be in as high concentrations as they were when they were up against the shore. The winds and the waves can help break up the cells, break them physically so that they're no longer viable. The cells in the surface that are in the surf are vulnerable to the turbulence. So all that will help lower the numbers.
So long term, do you think that this is something that may be coming back? I mean, if we don't have as much turbulence and if we don't have any more... I mean, could we be exactly where we were maybe 2 or 3 months ago when it was kind of bad, but not really, really bad?
It is possible this would just be a reprieve. Right, we don't know yet.
So we'll just have to wait and see on that.
Yes.
Could a major hurricane really knock out the red tide bloom overall?
Yeah, that would probably do it because of how far the water will go when a hurricane blows. So it'll blow a lot of water and cause a lot of upwelling, and we'll definitely change the water column, and which is basically what we need. In Pine Island Sound, the storm just blew the cells from one side of the bay to the other, for example. If you have a hurricane, then that can blow things out into the Gulf.
Yeah, and it sounds like you do have some concerns, though, about the runoff. Maybe not even just from Lake Okeechobee, but what about runoff from just the rain that fell into smaller tributaries going out?
Right. All the runoff in Florida is full of nutrients, and that's a problem for all kinds of algae blooms and for feeding hypoxia or anoxia. So, we do have too much nutrients in our runoff, and we need to do something about that.
Yeah, well, we may have a little bit of a reprieve. It still comes with an extra bit of that fresh water with the runoff. We have a call
right.
coming in from Paul in Punta Gorda. He has a question. Paul, what would you like to ask?
Yes, I would, Doctor. I was wondering, I live on the Peace River. I grew up here. I was exposed to phosphate spills in 1967 and 1971. There's been 30 such spills in the Peace River from phosphate since 1935. I testified up in Arcadia at their zoning, the Mosaic zoning proposal, the change. And one of the things I did is I went back and I pulled out research and old newspaper articles from various phosphate spills. And there was some discussion after the 71 spill that there had been some studies done in the 1950s. And they said that generally anytime there was a phosphate spill, there was a flare up of red tide, worse red tide incidents in the Gulf Coast. And one of the guys was a Venice commissioner, and he said, oh, that was common knowledge since the 1930s. And I wonder if in your research or if you've ever seen any of that linkage between phosphate spills and worse red tides.
All right. Thanks, Paul. That's a great question. Do you know of any link between phosphate spills and red tide?
Well, not specifically the spills, but yeah, the Peace River has a huge phosphorus loading rate to Charlotte Harbor and to the Gulf. There's 500 metric tons of phosphorus that come out of the river on an annual basis. That's enough to fuel huge blooms. If any of that makes it out into the Gulf, and which of course it does, so that as blooms get close enough to shore to use the phosphorus that comes out of the Peace and out of the Coosatchee and out of Tampa Bay, then that'll help fuel the blooms.
I'm wondering if phosphate survives long enough to get as far off the coast as where red tide begins.
Right, that's a good question. Where they have looked at where the nutrients come for the offshore, where initiation areas, and they seem to be saying that more of the phosphorus is from upwelling of water from that comes from deeper water. So, yeah, that is possible that our phosphorus is getting out there, but I don't know about that.
Maybe from springs underneath the Gulf?
Right. There is a paper on submarine spring input that could provide some of that.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this part of the show, but I want to thank my guest, Dr. Rick Bartleson, a research scientist with the Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation. Rick, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Julie.
I really appreciate it.